The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on Stitcher, iTunes, and NFL.com/Shek. I feel like we say this every week, but what a crazy week of pro football we just watched there. We are moments away from kickoff on Monday night from Lambeau. Brett Favre's return to honor Bart Starr. Great stuff there with perhaps the best of all Green Bay Packers quarterbacks under center against the Falcons, Aaron Rodgers. That's a debate for another time. Joined in Studio 66, Maximum Strength. Oh, but before we get into that, yeah, we can't have our sound effects there because Black Tie isn't behind the glass. In his stead, we used to call him Zach Tie because it rhymes with Black Tie, but this is a soccer guy. If you listen back in the summer during the World Cup, we did a couple of gangbusters soccer World Cup-specific podcasts with this bright young fella, and he's also doing some other great stuff with us here. We're going to call him now Soccer Tie. What's the poop, fella?
Not too much. Not too much poop anywhere.
No, good. Well, that's good for everybody. And what I will ask is that since you don't know the so-called board with all the sounds and drops in there that Black Tie uses to such great effect, just have fun. Just hit anything you want there.
Go ahead. I can do that.
See, do one right now. Let's just see how it goes.
All right.
Potluck, yeah.
Hey, I'm Russell Wilson, and I throw a sexy deep.
We're off to a flying start because he was sublime on Sunday. Really drops my jaw what he's doing. Anyhow, let's say hello to the two other voices you just heard here in Studio 66. First of all, we broke bread in Chicago on our ongoing culinary tour of the United States. He's a Dolphins fan, of course, as you know, if you are a longtime listener of the show. So his heart is sad today. It's Handsome Hank. Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you,
Dave. Are you very well? I mean, you said the words, but I didn't buy them.
No, you're right. I'm not that well. It was a very disappointing day yesterday, but not entirely unexpected.
Really? I thought with Haloti Ngata, you might get him.
Yeah, but
without Haloti Ngata.
Yeah, with Timmy Jernigan, who was the backup defensive tackle and all the other stuff they have on defense, and by the way, a pretty good offense, proved to be a little too much for the Dolphins. And I fear now their season, which up until about, I would say midway through the third quarter, was focused on making the playoffs, their Super Bowl is now going to be getting their head coach fired.
Do you really feel that way? It's already done for them. It's so
nip and tuck. Oh, yeah, they
play
the Patriots this week, week 15, and then they have games against the Vikings and Jets. But, I mean, let's assume they
Well, that's what I was going to say. Your Super Bowl is this week. I mean, you win that game, then it's easy sailing after that.
Look, they beat New England in week one. Those are happier times. Those are times I like to look back on with fondness. But I'm just not sure I see it happening based on what the Patriots have done since then.
And also, someone whose star apparently has risen so high he doesn't feel obliged to pay a visit to Studio 66 each and every week anymore. Here he is, everybody, the statistician from NFL Media with the bad statitude. There we go. You were a little late on that there, Hank.
I was ready to do it. I just didn't know if I should do it after he'd spoken or before. Anyway, let's carry on.
Yeah, your sound effects usually are sort of washed. They're anticlimactic after you get the electricity that is Drew Statton. What's the poop, fella?
Those words kind of hurt. They cut pretty deep, Dave. Yeah, it wasn't my choice that I wasn't here last week.
Well, I don't know what gives.
You know, like, you guys out go gallivanting to Chicago. I wasn't invited to this culinary tour of Chicago.
We made you. You know? We made you. Your star is on the rise here on the DDFP and otherwise.
It would have been my pleasure to go to those steakhouses and order sides.
We didn't. No steakhouses for us. By the way, didn't you used to go to Thursday night football games?
I did.
And now what? You don't because you stay back to be with us.
I chose to do the DDFP instead.
Wow.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, you're feeling good because on Sunday the Oakland Raiders defeated the San Francisco 49ers.
And I got to tell you, as a Michigan fan, everything's coming up Harbaugh because the Raiders really, they're helping out my Wolverines. I got great odds right now that either Harbaugh's coaching the Wolverines or the Raiders next season.
All right,
better odds than me?
Well, he's not coaching. He's not coaching. The university met with him, and they walked away saying they don't.
Okay.
All right, John I suppose Harbaugh, I could his be brother naive. Apparently is more likely to be coaching Michigan than
I'd actually,
Jim is.
I'm going for, I'd like prefer Jack.
It would be interesting if Jim coached your Raiders and John coached your mm-hmm. Wolverines.
Wow. Maybe. That yeah. would be heaven for Drew Statton.
I am a little sad we miss out on Mike Riley, but, you know, I'll do all right getting over that
Let me ask you this. Legitimately, is everybody missing the fact that Jim Harbaugh, the reason he wants to coach the Raiders is for personal reasons? He wants to stay with his family in the Bay Area. But then what about all the Raiders moving to L.A. noise? Well, how does that get in
but
the way?
Wait a second. If you believe that, that's just his leverage so that the, let's say, 10 other teams that might want to hire him have to up the ante when they want to go to him. There's not, I mean, him staying in the Bay Area is a very convenient way for his agent, which is, by the way, the only reason we know this, for his agent to get that message out so that, you know, Stephen Ross or Woody Johnson or whoever has to open their wallet up a little bit wider to be able to lure him across the country.
I badmouth vapid cynicism. People, you know, this is it's what ails the 21st century in our society is everybody's so cynical, even though they don't know what they're talking about. And I'm pretty cynical myself on occasion. But I am very naive. When somebody says, well, this is what I want, I just sort of believe them.
But they, but you didn't
And then it's never true.
You, wait a second. You didn't hear him say it. You heard NFL Media's own Ian Rappaport saying it. And NFL true. Media's own Ian Rappaport has probably heard this from his agent.
By the way, we are weeks away, and I legitimately believe this, from hearing at least one NFL team announce it's moving here. I think that happens before January's out, right? I mean, I think legitimately could be 48 hours after the regular season ends. I think the Rams may announce that they're heading out here.
There's definitely signs more than in previous years that could be the case. But then again, I'm sure we've all felt that way a little bit before. And
I know that this isn't specific to the Chargers, but if you watch Sunday Night Football, it was pretty loud for the Patriots. I know the 49ers fans flooded Cowboy Stadium earlier in the year, and there are a number of examples of that. But really, who's going to – I don't worry about it, but Chargers ownership should worry if they don't make that move. Who's populating that stadium week in and week out if there are two teams 2 hours north? And let's say the Raiders join the Rams and move down to L.A. Isn't that going to be crushing to their gate? Sure. All those people in Orange County that sit pretty squarely in between L.A. and San Diego, why aren't those people who grew up watching the Rams going to just start watching the Rams again and you know?
Maybe the Chargers can just fill the St. Louis void and move to St. Louis and become the St. Louis Chargers.
It's all coming together. It's mm-hmm. all coming together. Yes, Handsome, you mentioned that, or we mentioned our culinary tour. It keeps on rolling, and we went to the Half Shell. It was a special trip. It was a sentimental episode of the culinary tour. Handsome and I have now eaten delicious barbecue in Austin, Texas, and we have eaten great Cajun food in New Orleans. We've mm-hmm. dined in New York City on some tender vittles there of different kinds. And now we add Chicago. Sentimental, we went, Handsome and I, on a cold Wednesday night before Thursday Night Football last week, jumped in a cab in downtown, rode up Lakeshore Drive. It was glorious. Then it occurred to me, deposit us at my old apartment where I spent the 8 years.
This is crazy.
We got out. It was the greatest. And it was, in a world that turns over every 6 months, everywhere we went was exactly the same as it was when I left Chicago.
And this is the amazing thing. You look at, and I'm going to blow your mind here, Drew, but okay. If you look at Dave, he's actually not in his mid-20s right now.
Whoa.
I know that he looks like he was, but yeah. this is where
I thought
Dave
was a teen when he was
right,
in Chicago.
But this is where Dave lived when he was in his mid-20s,
yes.
And that was, you know, a fair amount of time ago. I would never have believed that to start with, but we went to the pub that Dave
this is when he was selling, you know,
he
like
was a
health sales, insurance
He doesn't
futures.
Know, he can't even remember what he yeah. sold, but he was a salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to the pub that he used to go to every night, his apartment. He showed me the twinkling lights of his apartment, which I believe is just like Dan Marino's locker being glassed mm-hmm. off and just yeah. left as Dave left it, which is probably disgusting. But the pub that he used to go to every night. And then, you know, we walked from there to this delicious restaurant where we ate some terrific seafood. And along the way, Dave would point out houses and stores and things and tell stories. It was like a real walk down memory lane.
Did you pull the move? This used to annoy me in college, so I hope you didn't. Where you knock on your door of where you used to live and ask if you could walk around. Like, I used to live here. Can I walk around my dorm room?
Be a little weird when someone's paying money to live in that apartment for me to knock on their door. Hey, you won't mind if I take a quick spin around the old digs?
That never happened to you. That used to happen to me at Michigan all the time. People would knock on the house. Oh, can I go see my old room? No, you can't. You don't live here anymore. It looks exactly like it did when you lived here.
Well, apart from it's got my stuff in it. Yeah. Get out.
Scram.
Yeah. Oh, but what a time it was. And it was indeed a twister. And then we woke up. Well, Handsome didn't wake up. Then we were down on the field at 8 a.m. the next day. Matt Money Smith, Michael Fabiano, and I on Soldier Field. And it was hard as a rock. And it really is. I mean, I know this is old news to everybody. And you've heard the anecdotes told a million times over. So here one for the million and first. It is striking to be on a field where they're about to play a game, and it's 8 a.m., and that's about how cold it was by the time they kicked things off. At night, it wasn't a terribly bitter day by Chicago standards, but next to the lake, it is 20 degrees cooler, and, you know, the wind whipping through, you know, it cuts right through your clothing and everything. It hurts, and when you hit the ground and it does feel basically like cement, you realize, boy, it takes a lot to
Why
summon.
Why did you hit the ground?
Because I wanted to feel. I was stomping on it.
Oh, you were hitting the guy.
Yeah, I was stomping on it.
You didn't actually
don't
fall over.
No, I didn't. No, Michael Fabiano didn't fell me with a tackle or anything.
I was just checking.
But it is quite a thing that those guys go out there and do that on the weekends. I know they get paid a lot. No, it's the grown-ups playing a man's game. But egad, that is not something that I would desire doing, to try and wrangle DeMarco Murray late in the fourth quarter, especially if your season is pretty much over. You really have to dig deep and figure out where you're coming up with your motivation. It's your professional.
It seems like the Bears also made a business decision on that front.
Hey, yeah, true enough.
Dave, Drew and I have been talking a little bit recently.
All right, well, we want to jump into week 14.
Well, before we do, though, Drew and I have an interest in each other's fantasy season, so I just wanted to check in with Drew. How's your playoff team going?
It's not going great.
Really?
Yeah.
So your season-long fantasy football league's winding down?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. Should I wait or can I get in a new league? Is NFL.com still have leagues?
There's no point in waiting to 2015. You can play on FanDuel and for real cash. Your season isn't even over at FanDuel.com.
You know, I heard about that. Matt Nichols from Ohio, he turned $25 into over $25,000 playing fantasy football on FanDuel.
So you could join him and maybe hundreds or thousands of others who've already won money there.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I didn't even make the playoffs, so is this something just for the rest of the season? Can I do it week by week? How does it work?
I think if you go to FanDuel.com, what you'll discover is that you've joined the site, which is actually the leader in one-week fantasy sports football leagues.
And the money is real?
Yep, the entry fees are just $1.
Okay, and no season-long commitment, no upfront fees.
That's right, exactly. You know a lot about this, actually, it turns out. You can play each week or whenever you want, and you can set a lineup each week and win every week. If you're good enough.
How much money have they paid out this year?
If I had to guess, I would say it would be more than $170 million this NFL season.
That's quite,
you're good
that's
enough.
Quite specific.
But you have to play to win, so you'll have to sign up today.
Okay, so if I go to FanDuel and I click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, what code
you should,
I use?
Well, if you get a code, let's make up one. How about DDFP?
Okay.
Yeah, use the code DDFP and sign up now.
Okay. It sounds like a new user special.
Well, wait. If you've never played before,
no,
that would make you a new user.
Yeah,
I think that's probably a new user special.
Okay,
FanDuel will give you a bonus of up to $200 on your first deposit. For every dollar you deposit, Drew,
okay,
FanDuel will match it up to $200. So, you know, this offer is only good for the first 50 people that use the code. What did I say?
DDFP.
DDFP. Don't forget to use my code DDFP.
Okay.
Sweet. Wow. That was really spellbinding.
I
applaud it because no one's had the temerity to come into this studio and just launch into a conversation that doesn't involve me. So I congratulate you on your courage, and I found it compelling, and I might just have to check out
Dave,
this
you know
FanDuel
what?
Myself.
I'm sorry we didn't include you. Don't miss out on all the fantasy football you can handle. And I don't know if you listened to anything we said, but FanDuel.com.
No, Matt Nichols sounds like, I would call him lucky, but he probably knows what he's doing.
He's rich.
Yeah. Well, FanDuel, there's a new week. Every week is a new season. Mm.
All right.
And can you spell FanDuel? FanDuel.com. Sign up today.
Yeah, I'm a master speller, so I got that covered. Hey, Soccer Ty, give us a sound there, would you?
Let's do it.
Shame on you for that.
That wasn't what we were expecting.
Sorry, I'm new here, guys. I'm new here.
Try again.
All right, ready?
I actually like stale bread.
Oh, that's a good one.
Neil Dutton.
Yeah, Neil Dutton, who likes stale bread over in the UK. All right, fellas, well done there. And now let's jump in on the Week 14 review here. Like I said at the very top, what an insane week of pro football. Shouldn't, after Week 14, we have some sense of where these things are headed? And it's more upside down than ever. Let's start with what is the most ridiculous loss that you saw? Or victory? What was the most improbable one? And I guess it boils down to the Raiders defeating the 49ers or the Panthers doing what they did to the Saints. But I don't want to give you your answer. Why don't I start with you, Handsome?
I would say the Raiders over the 49ers just because it was so unexpected and the 49ers have so much to play for. The Saints have been up and down all season, and just when you think they're going to lose, like in Pittsburgh, they go and win. Mm-hmm. And just when you think they're going to win, then they lose it. So it just wasn't that much of a surprise to me. But the Raiders beating the 49ers was because, although it had kind of been talked about a lot during the week, it was like that can't possibly happen. It really feels like things are going to go downhill pretty fast in San Francisco.
I don't know how we're supposed to...
You know, sorry to interrupt you, but you remember when you're in school and you had the teacher that you really disliked, and it gets to like the last couple of weeks of the year and you know they only teach your year group or something like that, and it's like, really, at this point, we can do what we want because I don't ever have to deal with this human being anymore. That it feels a little bit like that's the way things might go in San Francisco, where it's like, we know Jim Harbaugh is not going to be here anymore. We haven't really enjoyed it, but we put up with it because we had to. But as I can see the light at the end of the tunnel of this man not being my boss any longer or the guy that I have to answer to, I have a feeling things could go south.
I feel like that there are a lot of people out there today saying Jim Harbaugh is really hurting his future prospects here. You know, this is an embarrassing season, as it turns out. So who's going to want Jim Harbaugh to take things over for them? Of course, it's the circumstance that is, you know, involved there. And, you know, this was a lost season, and you could see that in whenever that was, February, when all that noise about
the combine,
Cleveland, that he was thinking that he was flirting with Cleveland a little bit there. So It and the injuries on defense and everything else, but the offense hasn't done anything. It remains one of the great mysteries of the year. I don't think he's ultimately hurting himself, but how are we supposed to now regard this Niners? It's not a dynasty. They never even won a Super Bowl, but this era, I think we can close the window on it, right? I mean, I don't know who they bring in to replace Jim Harbaugh or where Jim Harbaugh lands, but it's a funny thing. They had a great, great run. You know, they could have played in really three Super Bowls. Two plays kept them from playing in three straight Super Bowls. And yet it suddenly feels very long ago. So,
well, and the strangest part, too, with them is it's, you know, you look at it and it's still the same team. I think week to week we all just expect, like, oh, no, they'll figure it out. And they'll, you know, they'll be the old 49ers, kind of like the Seahawks have now this late in the season. But, you know, he hasn't been able to quarterback whisper into Kaepernick like you can get into Flacco's ear.
Well, yeah, you know,
maybe you should get that job.
The thing that is exciting, what's compelling to me about where we are in the season is that after a few years, and we've talked about the outliers that disprove the rule that you have to pass first to go deep, and in fact, over the last 6 weeks or so, we've acknowledge that the teams that end up winning the Super Bowl aren't necessarily the pass-first teams. They're the teams that have power offenses. But it is nice to see right here and now that different teams are having success in completely different ways. No, don't. I'm fascinated watching here in 2014 the way Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson, in an age where all the rules dictate that you throw the ball as much as possible, with Doug Baldwin as their number one wide receiver, are just killing teams by you know, running the read option, and they cannot stop it.
But when you watch how that works with the Seahawks, it normally comes down to the play gets broken, Russell Wilson scrambles around a bit, the receivers freelance, and he finds them open, and you know, and it's not normally like the first play that was drawn up. It's the sandlot stuff that happens afterwards that helps them, you know, move the ball.
I suppose you're right about that, and in fact, I declared yesterday that Ben Roethlisberger's 10-year reign as the most difficult to tackle quarterback is now officially over. It is now Russell Wilson's, you know, who stands atop mm-hmm. that mountain. Yes,
I think that's actually a fair one. They're difficult to tackle for different reasons, but yeah.
But I think yeah,
once you get hold of, I mean, if any of the times that Roethlisberger's got away from pressure because he's just so big, Russell Wilson would normally go down under that.
Yeah, but he always, even when you get your hands on him, he
squirts out.
Yeah, somehow. That's right. But I don't know. Yeah, sometimes it's behind his back or whatever, but he rarely gets dragged to the ground. Yes, Drew
and
Statton.
We talked about this last week. Russell Wilson is in the top 15 in rushing yards.
Yep.
Like, it's bananas that he's going to end up with almost 900 rushing yards. And, you know, you think he has a couple of those big plays every game, but I don't personally think of him the same way you think of Michael Vick or one of these other quarterbacks that are just out. Oh, nothing's there, I'm going to run. But he slowly just churns out these yards and kills you on third down when he takes off and can extend the drive. And, you know, it's crazy that he...
And it's not to say that Doug Baldwin isn't good, but it feels circumstantial that he finds himself running so wide open as often as he does. It's not his dominance that allows him... His personal skill set that allows him to elude defenders. It's just that they're so focused on 24... And Russell Wilson, that those receivers are you know, the defenses have to completely sell out to try and stop those guys, especially in the second half.
You can imagine defensive coaches telling their defense, like, as soon as you see Russell Wilson, don't let him get loose in the open field. So Russell Wilson makes a move like he's going to run the ball. The defensive backs come off their receivers, and that's why those guys are running wide open, because then Russell Wilson throws it to them, and you know, he's done enough to take the secondary help away.
And I now have to say this, and this will upset the 12s out there in Seattle, the fan base that I have said now for a year as is the fan base that has the biggest chip on its shoulder, which isn't an insult. That's how you got to where you are. Richard Sherman, Russell Wilson, and all the rest of the guys on that team play with that chip on their shoulder. No one respects us. They love that one, especially up in Seattle. But I still am not convinced the Seahawks are going to the playoffs. They must – I mean, I guess it comes down to what they do up in Seattle against Arizona, who beat them in December last year. There's no reason to think that the Cardinals with Drew Stanton are going to be able to hang with them. But let's wait and see, because Detroit isn't going away. They should win their next two games. So I think they're in the playoffs. And if Dallas looks like they did last Thursday, then I'm not sure exactly where that playoff spot comes from, unless – the Seahawks take the NFC West. I think whoever loses that NFC West game now, that Cards and Seahawks game, is going to be on the outside looking in. And, you know, the Rams now, that's who they play next, the Cardinals. They've thrown two straight shutouts. By the time they get up there, they could be tied up with the Seattle. But any chance that the Niners have some dignity and they say, this is it. This is the last time, the last meaningful game we'll really play. We're going into Seattle for old time's sake. Let's do it. Let's dash there.
It hasn't been old time's sake. They haven't beaten Seattle in Seattle.
For the last 4 years, and you know, this, it's over. Let's have one last party at the expense of our arch rival Seahawks.
I don't know that Jim Harbaugh is the guy who's going to get his team up like that. I could see that if Rex Ryan was the coach, another guy who definitely won't be with his team at the end of the season, and they were going to the Patriots, let's say, I could actually see that working. Him going into the locker room and saying, guys, I'm going to get fired. Your jobs are all on the line. Screw it. Let's do this one time and beat the Patriots. But Jim Harbaugh is not the guy who's going to make that announcement. He's like, you know, who's got it better than us?
Good luck. Good luck next year with whoever's here, fellas. Yeah.
And neither of those last two games in Seattle have been close. I don't.
Right.
It's no. Sorry. Well, sorry, Jim.
I guess I would. The Raiders. I do like Derek Carr.
Michigan.
I think that. I think it's interesting that the Panthers went into New Orleans and did what they did. And interesting isn't the word. Baffling is the word, I guess. Let's remember now. 1 week ago, they went into Heinz Field and smoked the Steelers. Right. Forget the final score. They whipped them, but good. You know, the Steelers tacked on a couple of garbage touchdowns to make it appear close. They handled the Steelers in Pittsburgh. They're a bad road team, the Saints. And they didn't have Jimmy Graham. He was basically a non-factor the whole game. And they whipped them. 1 week later, they go home to play the Panthers, who've won one game since mid-September, and get destroyed. Carolina Panthers, when they were playing a little bit better at the beginning of the season, those same Pittsburgh Steelers went there and destroyed the Panthers. Then the Steelers yesterday, who, by the way, the Bengals, they go to Cincinnati, the Bengals went into New Orleans a few weeks ago, and they handed it to the Saints pretty good. The Steelers double up those Bengals, 42-21. What gives? I mean, as somebody who cares about numbers, Drew Statton, this must really make your what's the meaning of any of it?
How
do you attach any meaning week to week to what we see?
I'm ready to quit.
Shall I tell you the craziest thing about it? After the Falcons lose tonight to the Packers, the Saints will be top of the NFC South. Mm. Despite all of that.
Slow to roll. Not technically, but they'll be tied for
They'll be tied for first place. That's technical enough for me.
Okay.
And let's keep in mind, as somebody who cares about the Steelers' fortunes going forward, this is a team that controls its destiny, as everybody likes to say, which I know soccer tie must be driven crazy by that phrase, right?
Totally wild, but I don't want to ruin this well-elucidated point.
But listen.
Ooh, elucidated.
Control your destiny. Tell everybody why that makes no sense.
It just doesn't. There's no reason why it would.
What's your destiny? What your destiny? You don't control your destiny. That's what destiny is. It's predetermined. You don't control your destiny. But anyway, I think you know what the spirit of that statement is. If the Steelers were to win out, then they would win the division, and they would have they would obviously get one of those top four playoff spots. But of course, they've lost now to the Saints and the Buccaneers, the Steelers and the Jets. By the way, anybody who has any confidence that they're going to go to Atlanta next week and beat that team is fooling themselves. Especially AJ Green tormented that secondary on Sunday in Cincinnati. That'll happen again with Julio Jones, of course. But the only hope I have is for the Steelers is that maybe it'll be really cold in Lambeau and they'll get physically beaten up. Then a short week, that'll be a quick turnaround. That'll be too tight a turnaround for
Dave,
them.
You know what a fun thing you could do would be is go to NFL.com/playoff
predictor.
Oh,
I love
predictor.
This, Handsome. Yes, I've promoted it a couple of times, but
well,
please
I'm going to do it now using the voice I used when I did FANDUEL.com. Using the code DDFP, go to NFL.com/playoff predictor and you can predict the outcome of the remaining games of the season. And in fact, we've started the process for you by predicting the games based on each team's current winning percentage. And then you can see who's going to be in the rather than speculating recklessly about it. You can actually find out scientifically who will be in the playoffs. What do you think about that, Drew?
How do I do that?
NFL.com/playoff predictor. Sorry, I don't think I can hold those together any longer.
That alone, that NFC South, AFC North, that combo of those teams playing one another is as loco a thing as I've seen, as I can ever remember seeing in pro football. The ebb and flow of the results make absolutely zero sense to me.
I'll defer to Drew here, but we did some research, or his team did some research, and I believe we discovered that the NFC South is the worst division ever.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's true, right?
When you look at the combined record of that division since 1970, it's the worst division ever.
What was the final result? I could look
specifically,
it up.
Isn't it historically?
That's
bad?
What he's saying. He's saying and since 1970 is the worst.
And if you look at their records outside against teams outside of the division, it's even worse.
What is it? How many total wins do they have?
They're 16-34-1. It's the worst since the 08 NFC West. They went 22-42.
What are they outside the division? How many wins do they have?
Eight.
Eight total. One quarter of them have come against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And they're going to, and guess what? They're going to have one third of them after the Falcons game. I hope I'm wrong, but I see no reason to think that the Steelers are going to go down there and handle them unless Le'Veon Bell. That's the next thing. Is he the best running back in the NFL, Drew Statton?
You like my running back expertise, what my eye says? Got great vision, great hands. Did I sound?
I mean, listen, no, I think there are numbers that would support it. He doesn't have the rushing yards that DeMarco Murray has, but he doesn't play behind that offensive line either, and the line was terrific against Cincinnati on Sunday, but it's not as consistent. I could run for probably 800 or 900 yards behind the Cowboys' offensive line. Not in one game over the course of the season. But the difference is DeMarco Murray has lost five fumbles this year. Le'Veon Bell lost one fumble in his rookie year, and has lost zero in 2014. Quite a thing for all
you
the
know,
touches
that
he gets.
Me. What's takes that? Care of the ball.
I thought you were going to say that no. What that tells you is he's going to fumble three times against the Falcons.
I think it's a toss-up. Him, LeSean McCoy, DeMarco Murray, any of those
I think
three
we,
guys.
We better make it real real clear that we're not talking – this isn't the Move the Sticks podcast.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, just
wanted,
true.
I didn't want people to get confused with all these hard scouting terms that we're throwing out. They're listening to Daniel Jeremiah.
Yeah.
But one thing that Baldy pointed out earlier today on Aftermath is that – and you probably noticed this
name
yesterday.
Dropper.
I did just drop that. The Steelers ran the same running play over and over and over and over again.
I love that. I love when a team when it is made clear this is what we're going to do, and unless you
stop
it, then that's on you.
It was some counter where they pulled DeCastro and pulled Heath Miller, and Lev Bell just ran to the touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. You're not going to stop it, which is pretty impressive. And so yeah, I'd say if you're that good that you can line up and say this is what I'm going to do, you're going to take it because you like it.
All right, we're bouncing all over the place, but now back to the NFC West. How about the Rams? I was saying that the Dolphins were the hardest luck team if they, in fact, they missed the playoffs because of some of those narrow losses. But what about the Rams? They're 6-7, but they lost by 3 to Dallas, 6 to the Eagles, 3 to the Niners, and 3 to San Diego. I mean, if you flip one of those results, then they're in the playoff race. 6-7 is probably just long enough that they can't get into it now. But if they were 7-6, but certainly maybe a couple games better, which they could be, they could be right in it. And now two straight shutouts for this team. The Rams are in L.A., right? That's the one of the three that we feel most confident about. This is exciting, too. If you're looking at this, this is something that you can beat your friends by 3 to 6 weeks by starting to get enthusiastic about. The Rams are going to be Los Angeles's in a matter of weeks. I really believe that. And a couple things. Who's going to be their quarterback in 2015?
Well, that's the big question. That's why you might not be able to get that excited about it, because Sean Hill is currently their quarterback.
Well, there are going to be some names out there. And two, what strings need to be pulled, Handsome, to make sure that I am closely and intricately involved in the designing of that uniform? Because I don't want it to just be, let's go back to the blank uniform. I want to honor the past great uniforms of the Rams, but do something new.
You
have some ideas. How do we make that
happen? Well, you have some ideas.
Yeah, of course.
Well, let's
hear
them.
Well, I'd rather
you don't
show
want to give them away.
I'd rather show. You know, a uniform design is more of a show.
Well, can you I've got a pen and paper here.
Yeah, well, I mean,
well,
listen,
it probably won't translate that well. Well,
here's what I will tell you. The metallic gold is gone. That was a bad idea. Notre Dame gold. It's going to be back to the, to new gold, what Steelers consider gold and what old Rams used to do. But we got to make sure that this happens. I have to be involved in the uniform design. But Jay Cutler may be available, it sounds like.
That would be depressing.
If Jay Cutler came out to L.A.?
Jay Cutler was the answer. We found the answer. We don't need Sam Bradford. What you need is some Jay Cutler.
Well,
disinterested alongside the new disinterested fans.
Maybe like a 10-year – we could bring back Laguna Beach, though, because we'd have, Kristen Cavallari back.
Oh, yeah.
2 weeks – well, I mean, not 2 weeks ago. What was it? 3 weeks ago? It wasn't very long ago. What was where was that game when the Panthers just got shamed and everybody said, Cam Newton is finished? Was that Philadelphia? They were up in Philadelphia, I believe.
Maybe.
And he was getting hammered.
45-21 to
and everybody said, Cam Newton is ruined. He's unfixable. He's going to, I don't know how much longer he's got in this league. There was crazy talk about him. Then you see what he did to the Saints. He looked terrific.
Hollywood Cam.
But no,
is that
no.
What you're speculating
no, I'm
about?
Not speculating about Cam coming out here. But RG3, are you willing to close the book on him now? Is he done? Is Colin Kaepernick done? Our pal from around the NFL, the great podcast and the portion, of course, of NFL.com, Chris Wessling wrote a great piece about the diminishing returns that people are getting on their running quarterbacks. But is Kaepernick done then? Is he? It's over for him now?
I don't think, no. I think Kaepernick has another year to prove it. I think the most fun story of the next 3 to 6 weeks is going to be watching RG3 get yet another coach fired in Washington. Because I think that...
I don't know if I'd call it fun, but it's insane.
It's going to be fun to watch. I mean, I'm not a Redskins fan. It'll be fun to watch. I feel bad for Jay Gruden, but he will win that battle, that power struggle, because Daniel Snyder has more tied to RG3 than he does to Jay Gruden, maybe not in, well, probably in terms of money and everything else, but he's going to win that power struggle, and the Redskins will have another head coach, and they will also then have to, I guess, tackle the maze of you know, how do you tiptoe around this guy who's been given all
power. You're saying RG3
will win that power struggle.
You say RG3 is back in 2015.
He will be back with
DC.
A different head coach whose job, just like Jay Gruden's, will be how do you make the most.
I will say,
of
I'm
RG3.
Seeing a lot of noise. And by the way, aren't there a lot of stories in the last 24, 48 hours that we already know the answers to? And it's not to diminish Handsome. You handle the NFL.com homepage and NFL Network and the worldwide leader out there. I'm seeing a lot of people buzzing about stories that we already know the answers to. Is Jim Harbaugh done in San Francisco? Like, yeah, well, we've known that for weeks, haven't we? And then the other, is it time for Johnny Football in Cleveland? Like, yeah, well, we know that, right? There's no question he's going to be under center, correct?
Yeah, but if we just said, let's assume that you know everything, then we wouldn't have anything to publish on these websites or talk about. It's like, all right, well, I guess we can take that as read. Wink, wink. Then people are like, what should we do instead? Then?
Well, what reminded me of that was the Jay Gruden thing. Is his job might be in trouble. I said in day one that people are now saying, Jay Gruden does not. I don't know if he's long for that job. Day one, I said, what a ridiculous hire. Why did they hire John Gruden's brother to run? I mean, that is a pretty good gig. There are only 32 of them on the face of the earth, and Jay Gruden got one? It was crazy at the time, and he was able to hide the RG3 struggles, camouflage the fact that they had three wins. They were never a good team. The idea that you could just saddle it all on RG3 always stood out to me as a weird sort. It felt like a smokescreen. Suddenly people are realizing, oh, yeah, I guess it's not all the QB's fault, huh?
Yeah.
True?
Yes.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's what
Why
I'm
was
saying.
Jay Gruden a four? Well, I don't think he survives this year.
Well, and how about London Fletcher going full throttle? Wouldn't it be great if everyone just spoke that candidly when they're talking about their former coaches or players?
If what he says is true, it's
fantastic.
Pretty amazing that Jim Haslett, you know, was a head coach in the NFL, what, must be 10, 15 years ago, since he was the head coach of the Saints and got them to the playoffs and did stuff like that, but then has consistently been a defensive coordinator in the time since he was the Saints head coach.
Do you see any evidence that, yeah, so obviously I don't think we'll see Jim Haslett taking over the reins there. And, well, how could we possibly
don't
say?
Don't rule it out.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess if they could hire Jay Gruden, certainly they could replace him with Haslett.
What if Hank's wrong and they dump RG3 and then he signs with the Los Angeles
That's
Rams?
What I'm getting at.
Well,
yes,
oh,
I'm saying.
I think that's
where Dave was going.
Sorry.
We went in a different direction.
Or Mike Vick. There are a lot of fun scenarios.
Ryan Mallett.
What about Rex Ryan is the next? Jeff Fisher has once again done enough that I don't think they would dump him, right?
Well,
that's
been his entire NFL career.
That's true. That is true. I used to hold him up as one of the great coaches. He's a cool guy, but the results really are about as middling as it gets. Same thing goes for Marvin Lewis. He better in these last 3 weeks. I mean, he doesn't have to because they're not going to get rid of him, but again, when we look back in 25 or 30 years, we will look back at the Marvin Lewis era and say, what did he do to keep the job that long amidst an era when every other coach gets the plug pulled on him in the drop of a hat? It is wild that team with that kind of talent is once again having fine, pretty good results, but they better win that division and win a couple of playoff games. Yeah. Well, I keep saying they better, but he's not in any jeopardy of losing his gig. But
and revisiting a coaching discussion we had this offseason, what was Ken Whisenhunt thinking taking the Titans job over the Lions job? I mean, you look at that.
Is
now,
that right? I don't remember
that.
Wow.
Right, yeah.
That
great
really,
call.
That really, like this. Okay, this was the move, huh?
What would their record be if Ken Whisenhunt were their head coach?
The Lions?
Yeah.
Well, the offense is certainly not great under Caldwell, so. He might be doing better there than he'd certainly be doing better there than he is in Tennessee.
Hmm. What did we think of the college football playoff? As we watch, by the way, I don't know what it is, soccer tie, and fellas here in 66. I've got a do going now, and
You're
it's not
sweating?
Hot in here, right?
I'm so
it's not
cold.
Hot in here.
I thought you guys were trying to recreate the Chicago experience by blasting the AC in
no,
December.
No, I think I'm taking ill. I really do. Like since we started this podcast to show you what kind of man I am, what kind of performer I am, I bit my tongue for a solid 20 minutes here. on that, even when you were doing your commercial read there.
I can see about turning it down. You got a nice glisten going, though.
I do. I don't feel
maybe
right.
Maybe just give us a sound drop, see if that...
Yeah, yeah, okay, ready here.
Fix it.
Ice up,
son. Ice up. Oh, that's what you need.
Wow.
Wow. You're like a doctor.
That was perfect.
Just do what I can, Jets.
Thanks, Steve Smith and Soccer Ty. What did we think of? So that's why I'm jumping all over the place. Oh, with the Browns, like, obviously Johnny Football will start this week. I was with the majority of people, though. I think the majority of people. I said as a fan of not the Browns, as a football fan, I would like to have seen Johnny Football, but I didn't understand the push to get him to start over Brian Hoyer when they were in a playoff spot. I think he has to lose a game. He pulled it out in Atlanta the week before after 58 minutes or more of bad play. He did take him to the game-winning field goal, so to take the gig away from Hoyer would have seemed wrong, but now they will go to Johnny Football. My complaint from the game was when they got it down to the one-yard line, the Colts, at the end of the game, that they didn't give it to Trent Richardson was an outrage. Talk about wanting to see something as a fan. Wouldn't that have been the best to have him score the touchdown on you, to rub salt in the eye of in the wound? I'm mixing my metaphors here, but you get what I mean there.
I do know.
Wouldn't that have been funny if they had given it to old Trent to take it in?
I think they actually wanted to score a touchdown. Probably why.
Boom Heron made a great run to actually get that first down when they needed it.
Now, another great quote this week was when Whitner dropped the – like, you know, how many times did he jump in the dog pound when he was here?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that was a good one, and we didn't honor. While I was diminishing the deeds of Jeff Fisher, I didn't honor him for his magnificent. What's the inspiration behind that? Why did he feel like he wanted to do that?
Why not? I mean, that's a great.
I'm all for having fun. It's a great wrestling move. You know, studio wrestling kind of move to show up your foes like that. But what axe does he have to grind with DC?
I don't know.
I think he's just ridiculing them even more.
Hey, I'm all for it is the point. Let's do it. I don't care what your motivation is. We need more of that. I'm with you, Drew Statton. I want more frank talk. I want more honesty. I don't care if it sounds ridiculous. I don't care if it's bulletin board material. What we cannot allow any longer is this thing. Because there's nothing funny about it, even though people think it's funny, I guess. Is Bill Belichick like, we're on to Cincinnati. Like, oh, what a laugh riot that is. And Colin Kaepernick doing it last week and giving one-word answers. And Marshawn Lynch doing it. Why is it – is the bar that low for what's funny in society
it's
now
terrible.
That this is amusing? I can't stand it. And the league really – of all, I mean, I know there are things that the league is focusing on, but they really should say enough's enough, fellas. You're professional football players making a lot of money to do this. This is part of your job. You can't just go up there – and thumb your nose any longer at the media.
The league does do that.
Do they?
Yeah.
I guess they fined Marshawn Lynch for not showing up. So, yeah.
I don't think anyone's encouraging it.
Well, nobody's encouraging it, but I have done – I was on the radio with somebody the other day, and they asked, do you think that it should only be the guys who want to do it? Imagine what that would be. That would be the punters would do all the talking. You know?
Well, that's when – if you go to a team and you say, you know, I'd like access with players to do something – that's who they'll give you. That's why it's mandated that these other guys have to do something. Because otherwise, you're exactly right.
I just want more. I like it. I think people should take a page from, like I say, wrestling and say that kind of heat is only good. That's only good. And what's bad is we're close to it, so we're close enough to it that it's neat when you realize that Drew Brees and J.J. Watt are chummy and they embrace when they see each other. But enough with the nonsense after the game of being chummy with each other or before the game. You know, we can't have it. We must have a wrestling mentality.
What I like most about that Rams thing is that there was a story that came out this morning. So yesterday it was reported, you know, this is what happened, and all the captains were the guys who had been drafted because of RG3, the picks that the Rams got for RG3. The Rams players hadn't worked it out until they read that story. So the next day they're like, I didn't know why I was a captain. You know, it seemed weird that I'd been named a captain. They didn't even realize. So it really was like a private joke between Les Snead and Jeff Fisher, I think. Was like, hey, let's do this.
You know, but the high five was definitely worth it that they shared after the game. Definitely worth it.
Yeah.
What did we think of the college football finale?
Did they pick the teams?
Yeah, they did. Oh. And as a guy who likes to you know, who likes to say snarky things about things. I have nowhere to go on this one because they got it right. They got the right four teams. I can argue the order that they should be in. I think the Florida State being undefeated and being number one last year should necessarily play in, but they would have been in the old system. They would have been number one throughout the year. They would never have lost number one, which doesn't make it right, but I think you could make a case they should have been higher up there. And for cool's sake, for traditional football fans' sake, it would have been nice to see the Big Ten and Pac-10 teams play in the Rose Bowl and then have those two Southeastern-based teams, Florida State and Bama, play in the Sugar Bowl. But that's a minor quibble. I think that the four teams got into this thing, and that's all I have to say about it. And I don't think you need to expand the playoff or anything else. I think they got it just right. How say you?
How do you go from 3 to 6?
What do you mean?
Like, didn't TCU go from – weren't they third the week before? And
because didn't apply the old standard, which is hold serve. Not the standard.
They won by, like, 50 points, and they took a knee in the red zone with, like, 5 minutes left.
So what? They lost to Baylor. Of the teams, that's the last team that has any claim to it. They lost head-to-head to Baylor, they tied in the conference.
But that
with.
Was before, and they had already gotten up to 6. And then in their last game, they won like 55-3. Like,
because
they should have won by
it,
70 instead of...
I was holding out hope that this would be the case, and the committee came through on this. They said conference championships will be weighted very heavily. Well, no one had actually claimed their conference title yet. You would be speculating. You'd have the odds on your side to say that we think Florida State is going to win the ACC championship game, but you didn't know it until you saw them do it. So they did it. Then that elevated their status. Ohio State, to say that their third string QB was going to beat Wisconsin, would have been a reach. And once you see Ohio State wins the Big Ten, they are the lone champion of a Big Five conference. And by the way, I don't understand, just because Lou Holtz told you that conference is lousy, they beat Michigan State. They whipped Michigan State in East Lansing. They destroyed a good Wisconsin team. That's enough for me and more impressive than anything that Baylor or TCU did all season long. I think they got Ohio State right. I think Ohio State legitimately, Bama is a miserable matchup for anybody. But I think Ohio State legitimately can match up with those other three teams. I think they stand a chance the way they're playing. They've been dominant. People refuse to acknowledge this because everybody decided months ago the Big Ten is a joke. But in the meantime, those teams, there are four or five really good teams in the Big Ten. And therefore, with Urban Meyer, what he's built, the quarterback position aside, that's a legit team. TCU and Baylor, the thing I've always said is they have no claim. You can say they should be in the mix of the four, but neither of those teams can make a rational argument that they're the best team in the country. Ergo, that's why I love the four-team playoff. You can say we belong in that fourth seed, but could TCU or Baylor make a case we're really the best team in the country right now? No, they could not. Therefore, why would they be in the playoffs? People say when the win happens, when you lose a game matters. Well, that would be quite an upsetting note if the NFL started doing that. Well, the Giants weren't great all year, but then they won the Super Bowl. Should we take that Super Bowl away from them because they got hot at the right time? This is the argument people always make to me, is that, well, listen, if you get hot at the right time, that's what sports are all about. Ohio State lost a game way back in September. Of course it shouldn't matter as much as what they've done over the last few months. True?
Well, also interesting that all Florida State's done is not lose since November of 2012, and they're not the one. How does that work?
Of course. People have confused themselves, I believe. They say Florida State has been so close so often. Yeah, but they never lost. Yeah. Alabama did lose to a good, not great Ole Miss team. Who did they beat all year long that drops your jaw? Bama. Who'd they beat? They beat Mississippi State in Bama. They beat a mediocre LSU team. What was their great victory that makes them such an unquestionable team that they have to be number one?
That's what I
Handsome,
you.
Any thoughts? I know college football isn't your bailiwick.
No, I love to watch it. I do have a question about it, actually. This is going to sound stupid. I should know the answer to this. But are the playoff games also bowl games?
Yes. What a – you know what?
That's cool. But are they always going to be the same –
How fun is January 1 going to be?
Are they always going to be the same bowl games?
No, they rotate them, I believe.
Okay.
I think there are
That's pretty
five
cool.
or six different bowl
so
games.
So you get your cake and you get to eat it.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, and I've long advocated that they should change that phrase to have your
Socratize,
cake.
Socratize, got a question.
Have your cake and some pie. Now that, because people get confused by the meaning of what that cliche is. Yes.
I was just going to say that Hank and I had floated the idea of a relegation playoff of the NFC South teams facing these four CFB teams for a spot in the NFL next year.
I thought the Jets. It would be interesting to put the Jets into one of those four
Well, let's just see. Yeah, instead of let's just go big here as the consolation prize for Baylor, let's give them the NFC South's spot in the NFL playoffs. Then we'll see. I mean, that'll be a fair test. And or if Baylor and TCU want to join squads, you know, maybe that could be the way.
Let's not overlook the game that we still have upcoming this Saturday. My dad would like me to mention this: Army Navy.
Is that right?
As a West Point grad, my dad.
Yeah.
His roots for Army.
Well, of course, no one would ever confuse me with a military man because I haven't the courage to do it, nor the physical ability to do it. But that's my favorite game of the year. I love that rivalry. People talk about you hear it attached to every college football rivalry. I don't care if we lose every other game as long as we win that one. That's not true for Auburn and Alabama and Ohio State and Michigan. No matter how many times those guys say it, that's not true. It would be unacceptable to go 1-11 with your one win being against your arch rival. For those two, though, it is true. If you beat that, your year is made.
Yeah, and I remember as a kid when Army knocked off Navy, I don't remember the year. I was definitely too old to be doing it. We were on a Navy base. I took an Army flag over my shoulders and ran around the whole neighborhood because it meant, you know, it was that cool. It meant that much. Yeah, you know, that. Granted, I'll do that again if we win. I'll do
you
it on the NFL Network. Maybe
the next show or two we should get to this is the best fight song, because I think Army has the best fight song in the country, and people don't talk about it. The Army. Wait, is this it? Let me see. No, that's not it. Anchor goes marching along.
You're talking about on Brave Old Army Team?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you would know it, right?
No, I don't know it.
You can hum it, right? I'd love to. I can't imagine how stirring a version it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Da, da, da. Here it is.
We'll go instrumental.
Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da. Do you have fight song? Oh, don't look at your watch, Ansel.
I'm just wondering if this is the point. If the point where we start humming fight songs
You're
might
right.
be the end of the podcast.
You know what? It might
Before
be.
We
that
do,
makes
can
sense.
I just
it makes sense.
Can I make one last point, which I don't want to put anyone off, but week 15 in the NFL, 3 weeks until the end, you know, three more games left in the season, a playoff race at its like apex, all very exciting. I can't find a single game I'm excited about this weekend. And that might just be the malaise of being a Dolphins fan.
You're kidding me. Okay. I love the NFC West matchups.
I'm gonna run you through them. Cardinals-Rams on Thursday Night Football.
This sounds like a real setup, Dave.
Cardinals-Rams on Thursday Night Football. I mean, that's fun, but it's not like...
I find that one awfully intriguing.
It's awfully intriguing, but it's not going to have a... I mean, I think let's agree. The Rams probably aren't going to... Like you said, they're probably one loss too far out from the playoff race for this really to matter to them.
Well, they've shown up enough to shut out two straight teams. I would think they're going to be...
You know,
the last one.
You know the last team to shut out three straight?
Pittsburgh Steelers, 1976.
Of course you do.
There you go. Of course you
I bring that. Nothing to the show.
That's right.
Steelers Falcons. I mean, what I'm saying is I'm not saying that these games are meaningless. What I'm saying is there isn't one
They're
where
not
you're like
two first place teams.
Wow. Those two teams are matching up this week. Jags Ravens, Packers Bills, Bucks Panthers, Bengals Browns.
Cowboys Eagles.
Oh, there you go, right there. That's your game right there. It's going to be Johnny Football playing the in-state rival. For an important...
But you just said the reason that Johnny Football's come in is because the Browns' playoff race is essentially done.
Well, I think that's a great game. I'm fast. Of course, the world will be watching that one, Johnny Football's first game under center. I'm assuming he's going to get the start. But you know what? I also think for Browns fans, and our pal Mark Sessler is down in the dumps today from around the NFL, of course, again, podcast and the written deeds that he performs.
They do a great
NFL.
Job, by the way, those five or six guys.
Yes, they're and swell fellas to boot. But he's down in the dumps as though the loss to the Colts has now removed their shot at the playoffs. But their next two games are winnable games. And well, this game, I think they, you know, I think the Browns can win this game. And then I can't recall who they have after the Bengals. But either way, their Week 17 matchup is in Baltimore.
At Carolina in Week 16.
Okay, so that's I could see them riding the Johnny Football wave, the enthusiasm, and so on, to victory there. Then they should beat the Panthers. So then that gets them to 9 wins. So if they're 9-6, then they go to Baltimore. What would be greater than, at worst case, they could maybe knock the Ravens out of the playoffs. But what if those two teams are playing for a wild card spot?
Wow.
They had their guts ripped out of them, the Browns. The Ravens are, as I've said, the Cleveland Browns. If there were justice in the world, the Baltimore Ravens would instead be called the Baltimore Purples, because they really are just the Browns moved to the East Coast. That's what they are. So wouldn't that be cool if Johnny Football, on the last week of the regular season, could go out there with the Browns into Baltimore and take back some honor from the Ravens?
That would be
away from them all those years ago when they moved from Cleveland.
That would seal his status as a Browns folk hero.
I'm calling it now. Season. That's what's going to happen, just because that's a great story. In the meantime, back in Ohio, no, I'm sorry, back on the banks of the Three Rivers, the Bengals will be playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, perhaps for the division title. We have much to look forward to, Handsome. Why are you being a Scrooge about the schedule?
I'm not being a Scrooge. I mean, I'm just saying, like, the one game is the Cowboys-Eagles. I think Drew Stanton just said that. That's the one game where I'm like, okay, that's very cool. That's exciting. That's Sunday Night Football in Week 15. But everything else is a bit like, I get it. It has some playoff implications.
Niners,
but
Seahawks,
it's not.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Doesn't move the needle, huh?
Not any longer.
What
sorry.
Are you doing instead on Sunday? Watching some footy? Who's playing? West Brom?
I don't care about that.
He doesn't care about that. Just because he has an English accent, that's xenophobic. The person who cares in this room is always behind the glass, whether it's black tie or soccer tie. They care more about that nonsense. Hmm. I don't mean it's nonsense either.
I'm
sorry I said that, soccer tie.
That's
I didn't mean that. That was a mean shot. Did you go to the game, to the championship game?
I did go.
Did you? Was it a good one?
It was lovely. Donovan? It was actually a horrible game. But
why do American people, when they talk about soccer, start using English phrasing? It was a lovely game. It was a nobody ever says that about a baseball or basketball or football game.
That's just an
game.
Adjective that I happen to use. I would say that about you as a person.
He uses that a lot.
I use it's lovely, I too, also, but regular guys don't employ certain words.
Brilliant.
That was a
class. Pure class.
Brilliant. It was a brilliant effort there. Like, what? You didn't. You don't talk that way unless you're talking about soccer.
There, yeah.
Not you, but people.
I gotcha.
One.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a good one.
Yeah, no, excellent. Really, really nice.
I think just a sound drop probably the best way to go.
Let me get you out of this. Ready?
The NFL game is not played in Studio 66.
That's Steve Smith, yeah. That's right. We may as well go watch an NFL game and turn off us yapping about football. So let's do that. Well done, soccer tie. Well done's another one. That's what people don't say well done very often. Like, well done, Brazil. You know, people don't say that.
It's purely a steak scenario. Yeah.
Huh?
It's purely like having to do with meat.
Thank you.
And meat-based conversation.
Soccer tie gets me. All right, so we'll wrap it up there after a rambling, possibly sick-fueled podcast here, at least for me.
In this small space, that means we're all going to get
That's
sick.
Exactly right. Yeah, it's an incubator. I'm dewy. I'm downright dewy on the back, you know? I got a little dew on my back.
I'm freezing.
It's cold in here.
Yeah, it's very cold.
Well, that proves it. I must be ill then. All right, so thanks to Soccer Tie, to Drew Stanton, the statistician here at NFL Media with a bad statitude.
Wake up, Hank.
And a Handsome Hank who is licking his wounds. But all is not lost, Handsome. This is the time to get excited. You're a Dolphins fan. By my standard, I'm a snob. As a Steeler fan, I decided over the weekend that merely making the playoffs will not be enough.
I've said that forever. I'm not interested in a wild card berth.
You know what my standard is? If the Steelers go 9-7 and get a playoff spot, not good enough. Yeah. If you can't get the double digits, then shame on you. I'm not going to celebrate.
I want to see improvement. What? And what I see from this
What's wrong with you guys? I have 2 wins.
All right. But you're a Raiders fan. It's a totally different standard.
You were six years old when they were good last.
Yeah. I want to see the type of improvement that means that the team not only is going to get a wild card berth this year, but is in the hunt for a playoff
berth. That's exactly.
Forever.
I mean, if the Steelers can't summon double-digit wins, and what kind of team is that to be playing in the postseason? I'm supposed to be proud of that? I'm proud of Jack Lambert and Mean Joe Green and Terry Bradshaw. I'm supposed to be excited about 9-7? Fair. I'm not going to say. I want 10 wins, and that's it. Right. And they better get them. And it starts by beating the Falcons, that bum Falcons team in Atlanta, in 6 days. That's it. End of story. We'll be back before then, though, with the Red Challenge Flag segment. Will you both be free for that?
If we're invited, yeah. I mean, I guess.
Are you
invited?
Will Elliot
be here? I'd like to.
I'll extend the invitation since you guys didn't last week. You guys are welcome to join me in St. Louis this week, where I will be for the Thursday night game.
What?
We can explore the city, take pictures in the arch together.
You're off. You're off to St. Louis.
I'm off to the Lou.
The gateway to the West.
I'm going to go hang out with the St. Lunatics.
Cool. All right. Well, I guess that's
zero chance.
What?
What's
happening?
Black tie.
What happened
come
here?
Come to ruin the whole party.
Zero chance Shaq knows who the St. Lunatics are.
The St. Lunatics?
I just got to ask him for permission to cross that bridge.
It doesn't make a difference who the St. Lunatics are because they'll cease to exist in about 3 weeks.
I think they already ceased to exist, but that's
well, black that's tie. Here's the interesting thing, and then we are going to wrap it up. You, I bet, are too much of a soccer snob to watch the MLS title game yesterday.
I'm here with the gold standard, Zach Goldman, who's a big MLS guy, and I've told him before, yes, I am totally complete MLS snob. I can't do it.
So you really didn't watch the game? You can't even watch a soccer game because it's played stateside here?
It's not as bad anymore, but the way I used to compare it, it's like watching the NBA and then watching, maybe not the D-League, but then watching college hoops. It's like I want the top flight stuff. Zach's the true purist, though. He can watch any level of soccer. I can't do that. You got to know who you are in this world, you know.
Got to know that's a place to live.
All right, I'm gonna go hit the sick bed. I guess Drew Statton's gonna hit some bars in St. Louis. What are they? Oh, they do toasted ravioli. That's what we better rank that at some point. The local fare, top to bottom, that's what they're special.
Well, like ravioli and a toast.
Like in Pittsburgh, they're known for putting French fries on the sandwiches.
I understand that.
And in Cincy, they have chili, which is too watery. It's watery. Chili is not good. Chicago has deep dish pizza. In St. Louis, it's toasted ravioli.
Toasted ravioli.
It's not for me. I'm not.
I think they fry it, like deep fry it.
I think my last place though would be. Somebody would have to introduce me to something worse than that. That watery mess. That watery sludge that they call chili in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a fan of it. And that's right. And I don't feel bad saying that even after the Steelers just left your town. And humiliated your team. All right, we got to wrap. Black Tie just said,
we got to wrap. We got to wrap.
So, all right, we'll wrap here. We'll be back later in the week with the Red Challenge Flag segment. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.